everybody. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live from Hallelujah Acres tonight around the world on WWRV 3.185, and glad to have you in here tonight. Join us. You may be joining us by shortwave 3.185, or you may be tuning us in tonight through the access of the worldwide internet. However that you are downloading us tonight, we're certainly glad to have you in here. Part 3 tonight, PMS. You don't want to miss it, because we're getting into some interesting aspects. Now, we've done covered the physical seduction of Eve in the garden, and then it became a mental seduction, and then it became a spiritual seduction. So we call that the physical, mental, and spiritual is PMS, and she had a bad case of it. We know that she's a weaker vessel, and tonight we're going to deal with the spiritual aspect, and we're going to make a statement right off of the bat here. If you got access to someone that would like to hear the message, call them up and tell a friend or a neighbor that Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call is on the air tonight live from Hallelujah Acres, and we're going to tell you by declaring that who controls the mind controls the masses. Now, we wrote this article several years ago, and we'd like to hit some of the highlights of the article, and it is posted online on our website, www.oneyahweh.com. If you'd like to go there and read the article of the aspect of the controlling factor, somebody has to control you, and you are under the influence, or you look up to someone, or you look down on someone, however the case may be, and this is the factor, the controlling factor. Satan wants to control your mind and your body and your spirit. Now, if he can do that, if you belong to Yahweh, he's neutralized you. You're none effect. And you become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, so to speak. You can't be a soul winner. You can't go out and be a witness. And the Bible said, "You are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, and my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, that before me there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior." Now, he who controls the mind controls the masses. Let's just look over the earth right now. We've got approximately 6.5 billion reported people upon the earth. Now, out of that 6 billion, if you were doing a percentage, how many do you suppose would be under the influence of the divine creator, of the one that brought forth light, and the one that brought forth joy, and the one that brought forth peace, as opposed to him that brought forth death, hell, and destruction? Now, well, let me narrow down the percentages for you and show you that Satan is going to win by a landslide if we're going by percentages. Straight is a way, and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. But wide is the gate, and broad is the way, and many who are under the control of Satan. Is there a reptilian seed upon earth that was fathered by a wise and subtle fallen angel? Was Eve a victim of the serpent? And that's why we call his offspring reptilian, because serpent is a code word in the Bible meaning someone wise and crafty, or the shining one. And Satan fits all of the above. Now, everybody thinks that Satan is causing wars and rumors of wars and all of these things and killing and manging and all this. That's how we define Satan as being bad. But that's not the success of Satan in trying to deceive the children of Yahweh. Satan's his greatest weapon that he's got in his arsenal, and the Bible said we're not ignorant of his devices, and he's got a whole bag of tricks. The greatest trick that he's got is to be good. I'm going to repeat that. The greatest power of deception upon the earth is good. Now, I'm going to show you in the garden that there was a tree of good and evil. This tree was not Yahweh. This tree was the tree that we're talking about here of the serpent. The serpent is the tree of good and evil. How does he influence most people of the world? By being bad? No. He knows himself. Now, there is a time that we think that it's justified to go out and kill. Like in World War I, we thought it was just to go and kill all of the Germans. In World War II, we did it again. We went over and killed 40 million more. And we ourselves lost about 3 million in the deal. And, of course, in Russia, they lost about 90 million through Stalin and the evil powers of the communist regime that was installed there. And so, all of that is evil. We know that's not good. Suffering and war and all this is not good. We know that Satan is the author of everything evil. But you can't understand the reason that there's constant strife, murder, stealing, war, tragedy, turmoil, without first realizing that the Cain race reptilians are to blame for all of it. Now, the Bible says a good tree, which is a seed, cannot bring forth bad fruit, just as a bad tree or a seed cannot bring forth good fruit. So each genetic bloodline must bear in the image of the genetic family tree. For instance, I'll give an example in nature. By the birds. Let's just take the species of birds. A red bird will never mate with a blue bird. And so you'll never see a mixed red bird and a blue bird. You'll never see that kind of an offspring. Only man has decided to mix his blood. Even the animals are true to their nature. In other words, a rhino will never breed with an elephant. An elephant, likewise, would never breed with a monkey. You'll never see that. There is no genetic war in the animal kingdom. The only genetic war that we have going on in the earth is in the genetic family tree of man. Now, notice this one. In John 8:44, Yahweh identifies a genetic family tree as a bloodline that is evil and was fathered by Satan. Now we go back to Genesis chapter 3 and we find that Satan enticed Eve and she became a victim of PMS. She was physically, mentally, and spiritually attacked on all three levels. And her being a weaker vessel, she gave in to the PMS onslaught of the wisdom and the cunning and the craftiness of Satan, the evil genetic tree. Now, he wasn't evil until he decided to do what he'd done. And this is why he decided to do. He decided to overshadow Eve and that she would bring forth a child in his likeness. And Cain typically exemplifies the likeness of Satan. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and 12, it says exactly that Cain was of the wicked one. Now, the wicked one was the seed that was good before it ever came evil. Now, that may be confusing, but let me repeat that. The wicked one was a good seed before it became evil. That's, therefore, is the basis of calling the tree in the midst of the garden the tree of good and evil. Now, he was good until. The Bible said Satan was good until iniquity was found in him. And most people blame Satan with their daily walk, causing Satan made me do it, or the devil made me do it, and people go to church and they rail on Satan and blame him with all of their troubles and their failures and things of this nature. But ladies and gentlemen, the greatest failure and blame that we could lay at anyone's feet is the cause of constant strife, murder, stealing, war, and turmoil, and evil, and even death is brought about by a genetic cross blood of the angel Satan with Eve, the wife of Adam. That brought trouble into the world. Now, let me show you. Listen to the parable that we're going to read in the book of Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start at verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and he does not understand it, the evil one, there's the evil one, not as Cain who was of the evil one. So Cain is a byproduct of the genetic good and evil. Sometimes you want to be good and sometimes you want to be evil. It depends on which side that you decide to be on. And the Bible said choose this. That's why man is so caught up between the deciding factor. And the common denominator is that on one side of your brain is the will to do good. On the other side of the brain is the will to do evil. Now, it's like the war of the two dogs that are inside you. You've got a black dog and you've got a white dog. Now, the question is, when the black dog and the white dog war with each other or fight with each other, the question is, which one's going to win? And so the deciding factor would be the one you feed, the one you give the energy to, because you are in the controlling factor. You have the right to be in control of your life, and you can resist the devil because, you know why? Because there is something called in the Bible. Now listen to this. It's called the shield of faith. Above all, Ephesians 6:16. Above all, take the shield of faith. Now you've heard about the nuclear shield, the nuclear umbrella. This is the nuclear shield for your faith, to protect you and to give you power over all of the enemy. You've got to take the shield of faith. Now, it's there for you. You've got to pick it up. And you've got to put it on. You've got to fit it to your front. Now, it doesn't have any shield to the back, because you never turn your back on the enemy. Never trust the devil. Oh, he's good. And he works in so many ways. He'll work in something beautiful. And I told you that's one of the greatest things that Satan has got is beauty. He'll come to you in such a beautiful, loving, kind way. And by doing so, he can inflict much damage on you if you forgot to strap on the shield of faith And the Bible says, you are not ignorant of his devices. But if you are ignorant, you're going to get your learning experience. Take the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Ephesians 6:16. Now, remember that one. Take the shield of faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is an action supported by a belief and then confirmed by a confidence. That's what I call the ABCs of the walk of the Father. You'll know a tree by its fruit. Now, just because a tree will bring forth good fruit, Satan is a shining light. His ministers are shining light. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that these ministers are transformed into the ministers of righteousness. That's what got Eve. She didn't see nothing bad about what she done. She didn't hear nothing bad from Satan. He had a convincing argument. And every time that you get taken or deceived, it's by the good side of the nature of the evil one, not the bad side. Now, he's got two sides to him, and so have you. You've got a carnal mind, and you've got one half of that brain to do good, and the other half to do evil. Now, when people say, well, I don't kill, and I don't steal, and I don't bear false witness, and I don't do all these things, and I love the Lord, and all these good things, and you say, well, that has to be a good person. Not necessarily. Being good does not make you good. There is no measurement, because if you measured doing good, you'd have to measure yourself by the devil, because the devil is the tree of good, as well as the tree of evil. You've got to discern, and by taking the shield of faith, you can overcome the devil. And you can understand that the scripture says, blessed is the God of our Father, of our Messiah, Yahweh, Yeshua, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Yahweh Yeshua from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven, and we're kept by the power of God. Now, I want to repeat this. This is my key point in this verse of Scripture of 1 Peter 1 and 3. We're kept by some other power. Now, what would that be? That would be a genetic manifestation of the blood of the Messiah in you to start with. Now, the Bible says that Yahweh knows them that are his, and you are predestinated according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, before the foundation of the world. Now, if you were chosen before the foundation, if your name is on the Lamb's book, and if you're predestinated, as he told Jeremiah, you're my son. Now, how did he get to be his son? Because Jeremiah wasn't even born at this time. But here is our Creator telling him that he had chosen him before he came into his mother's womb to be a preacher man. Jeremiah the preacher man. He's called the suffering servant in the Bible. And if you suffer with him, you will reign with him. And if you decide to take the easy way out, and Satan will give you that, unless you've got the shield of faith to avoid the PMS symptoms that Satan can give you. Now, we're talking about the physical assault. Oh, yes, he can send so many fiery darts. Now, what is a fiery dart? Well, it's nothing like that looks like a dart that you throw at a target that man has called a dart. That's not what it's talking about. A fiery dart could be a beautiful person. that would walk into your life and be the biggest mistake that you ever made. It could be the worst fiery dart that ever came your way. Now, the Bible says that some have entertained angels unaware, and most of the time, when Yahweh sends you a blessing, you will not recognize it unless you are prayed up with the shield of faith to reveal in the reflection of the armor. It gives you like a two-way mirror into the appearance. You can't judge by appearance. Now, we'll give an example. When Samuel, he was a Holy Ghost-filled man, and he knew a lot about personalities. But we find that Samuel, when he went over to look at the seven sons of Jesse, that each one of those seven sons looked amazingly like the one that Yahweh had chosen. He examined the first one, and he said, oh, this has got to be him. And Yahweh said, that's not him. So not every time that you judge a person would you want to judge by the way you conceive a person to be by just looking at them. You can't go by looks. Looks are deceitful. Beauty is vain. It's just on the surface. The most beautiful people in the world can be the most evil inside. And some of the best people can be the ugliest people outside, or even repulsive. Maybe something you just don't like about them. And yet they turn out to be your salvation, or something that was sent to you to tell you exactly how to go. Now, you've got to be able to discern. Listen to this. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Nobody knew that Cain was a murderer. It's not written in Genesis that Cain was a murderer. It's not really written in there. And you probably would have not known that Cain was a murderer had you ever met him. You would have probably liked him. I would have probably liked him. I know he was personable. I know that he had a lot going. He was a gifted architect. We know that he built cities. He fathered children. And you know that you got your children, and you're going to be kind and gracious, and you're going to leave them an inheritance. Cain left his seed an enormous inheritance. He left them the promise of this world. Now, for you to make heaven your home, that's what your Heavenly Father left you. Well, you can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it, you can't hear it. So the five natural senses is something that Satan gave his children, see, hear, tell, feel, and smell, and sense, that's the five senses that you have, as opposed to faith is the shield that we're talking about. And the Bible said, the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what Yahweh has laid up for them. Cain was a respectable person. He really was. You would have liked him. If you'd have been a businessman, Cain could have sat down and figured you out a plan that you could have prospered with. And so planners all over the earth right now, financial planners, I know a few friends that have lost enormous sums of money by sitting down with a financial planner, and these financial planners, they're trained to sell you a bill of goods, and knowing, financial planning is just a gamble. Let's say that you bought into some stock and the stock was going real good, and then all of a sudden things went the other way. How did they foresee that? Well, it's very plain that the devil, not only is he a good provider and a good planner, he's also a thief. So if he gets a chance at you, somewhere down the road, if he's in charge of a system, he'll make that system fail just to reap the benefits of having you to fail along with him, so that in the final analysis, he gets everything you've got. And that's what the devil's about, is to steal you, kill you, and destroy you. And it can do it without the shield of faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when you walk up to the counter and order a bottle of faith and drink it down, you don't even know you've drank it. You don't even know you've ordered it. See, that's the sense of faith. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. You can't hear it. You can't see it. It's an invisible truth of genetic inbred that came only from the Father. Now, I told you in part two of PMS that Eve didn't desire Yahweh. He was standing right there. She passed him every day. She probably was nice to him, and he was probably courteous. And she said, "Hi, how you doing?" "I'm doing fine. How are you today?" We know he knew her. He'd talk with her. He'd warned her. He gave her the truth. And sometimes people, in spite of the truth, will go ahead and buy into the bill of goods that Satan's got simply because they look good, they sound good, and it sounds good to the mind, the carnal mind. And so when he sells you a bill of goods, "Why don't you understand my speech?" He said, "Because when Satan comes, he is a father of a lie. He's a murderer from the beginning, and he will not stand in the truth because there's none in him." Now, I want you to remember this. There is no truth whatsoever in Satan. When he hatches up a lie, he will give it to you as the truth, and it will actually sound truthful to you. And when Yahweh gives you the truth, it will sound evil to you. And the Bible said that which is highly esteemed among man is an abomination to the Creator. Now, are you with me here on sanctify them? He says, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. What is truth? Well, we're going to find out right here. Your word is truth. How did the Messiah, how did Yahushua, how did he fight Satan toe-to-toe, eye-to-eye, tooth-to-tooth? How did he resist Satan? He resisted him with the written word. It is written, John 17:17, and 17:17 is the truth, and here it is. "I am the way, the truth, and the light," John 14:6. The Bible says that he is the truth, and what is the difference between speaking truth and being truth? When you're in the truth, the only thing that comes out of your mouth or actions or both is nothing but the truth. Now, why would you want to lie when the truth goes much better? I know for the moment, truth is, the Bible said a lie is for a moment, but truth is eternal. So, if you tell a lie, you're going to get caught because the Bible said nothing that is covered that's not going to be revealed. So, you might as well tell the truth up front, because if you tell a lie, you'll have to tell more to cover it up. And pretty soon, it's going to become obvious that the one that's influencing your life is Satan. Choose this day who you will serve. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14:6. Now, notice this. If you have the sanctification, what's sanctification? That means every day you get up, in spite of the old flesh carnal man wanting to do that which he wants to do, you do opposite of what the carnal mind, and usually you'll come out a winner. But if you follow the carnal mind, you'll wind up with a lie, and you'll wind up being stole from, or the stealer, or the deceiver, or the killer. You'll finally wound up, and withered away, because the Bible says that which falleth upon stony ground, that means Satan's truth, is for a moment. It's actually, he's telling you something to get you involved, to participate long enough to get you to plant a seed, have confidence in people, or get people to have confidence in you, and then you let them down. Now, notice this. For this, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came. Did you know that the greatest power that Satan has is the law? And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I didn't know that, because if you keep the law, you do good. Well, let me show you something. The Bible said that Satan is an accuser. Satan knew the scriptures. He knows the weapons that he needs to use to convince you that he's right, is to quote you scripture. He says and does not. Satan quoted scripture to the Messiah. So Satan's number one priority is to keep the human race in spiritual blindness. His primary reason, ladies and gentlemen, is to kill you, to steal you, and destroy you. So Satan, being the author of death, yet it seems like life. The carnal mind will accept Satan's plan as life. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. And Yahweh's way is a hard way. It's a straight way. It's a narrow way. Only a few can find it. It is written, to sanctify those by the word, and the word is truth. Notice this, you gotta come through the door. I am the door. Did you know that the things that Yahweh can't do is lie? And the only thing he's ever told is the truth, and very few people would ever believe him. You won't even believe Yahweh. He said, you believe not because my word has no place in you. If you are a genetic offspring of Satan, there is not going to be any truth in you. There's no sin. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be you doers of the word. Be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The 501(c)(3) churches are hearers of the word. They sit and they hear the word, and then they formulate the things that seem right. They go out and practice good. Now, listen. You wouldn't have to put a lock on your door because they don't believe in stealing. You wouldn't have to load your gun to protect yourself from them because they don't believe in killing. So Satan has a good side about him, and he also knows the scriptures, and his number one priority is to spiritually bind you and to deny you access to Yahweh's way, which seems wrong. Now, the world will not receive Yahweh's way. What is Yahweh's way? Yahweh told us to baptize in his name. What is his name? If you can tell, Proverbs 30 and verse 4, it says, what is the Father's name, and what is the Son's name, if you can tell. That's the first step toward kingdom, is to solve the riddle of the name of the Creator and the name of his Son. Now, my question to you, did the Father have a name? 6,823 times alone in the Bible, we are noted that Yahweh has a name in the Bible. Satan tried to constantly change that name into a form or into a fashion, and the Bible said there is a form and a fashion. And there's a way that seems right. And so what he done, he substituted L-O-R-D, L-O-R-D, YHWH. Now, by his name Yahweh alone, 6,823 times. And we challenge everybody that wants to take a Hebrew Bible. Now, if you want to take an English Bible and prove your point, well, then it's Lord, L-O-R-D. But if you go back to the original scriptures that it was written in, it was YHWH. It wasn't W-R-D. It wasn't L-O-R-D. It was YHWH. 6,823 times alone, Yahweh's name was effectively taken out by the sword of Satan. Satan has a sword. It's a sword of Semite. It'll cut out everything of the truth, and then it will cover over something that seems right, and Satan knows that if he can remove the word of Yahweh from the book, or change it, or alter it, and by constantly, persistently making it over and over, and year after year after year, into a traditional stand, that he can even bring in Christmas holidays and make Christians believe that that is what Yahweh demands and wants out of our worship. Now, we're coming up on Christmas, and I know the stores are decorating and they're ready. This is the most favorite time of the year for the merchants. Walmart is waxing rich. It is one of the most productive seasons, and they have several. But after these traditional events of Christianity, now this is just for Christianity. Only Christians believe in Santa Claus. However, other religions, like the Jewish religion, they call it Hanukkah, and they've got a little spill about that. It's all a lie. There was no lamp burning for 9 days and without a refill. All that is that is tradition. It's not biblical. Christmas decorating a tree is not biblical. Matter of fact, the Bible is against it. And yet, these pagan ways that seem so right, because it's been practiced so long, Satan has become a slippery elm of thought when he can change the word that is against these pagan practices into a way that seems right, and then he's effectively taken out the truth of the word and effectively put in a seem right or a feel good. It seems good at Christmas. Everybody going around and during the winter solstice, and they've got their big bright gay clothing on, the bright reds and the blues and the scarves, and the air is nippy, and it's almost a change of the season, and we're looking forward to spring after the solstice and the winter solstice, and then we've got the spring to look forward to, and then we've got the little bunny rabbits, and the Easter bunnies are going to come out in the spring. So everybody is anticipating that the sun, S-U-N, and the winter solstice is going to change on somewhere around the 22nd of December. See how they got it in there? And then the merchants came up, Satan came up. He sought to constantly deny the truth and give you a bad case of PMS by physically assaulting you, because the masses have gone after these traditions. And so you do it because it seems so right. And there's even a song, "It Seems So Right, It Can't Be Wrong." Although it's wrong, enough people that does it, it seems right. And when enough people does it, and then there is no effective, immediate recompense for whatever sin has been done. I mean, you're not going to fall dead if you go decorate a Christmas tree. You're just going to be judged when you die. You'll have to give an account for what you've done. And you might live a long life. Yahweh might be more willing to let you live a long time by sinning. Now, the Bible said, "Be not overly righteous, lest you shorten your days." You see, if you get right, then there's nothing left for you to do. Then Yahweh can take you home. You say, well, then that's what I want to do wrong. I want to keep on decorating a Christmas tree. Well, you got to pay for it sooner or later. Sooner or later, that lie must be recompensed, and you must face Yahweh for your evil ways or for your traditional ways. And full well, the Bible said, you keep your tradition and break my word. Now, which is better? His word, which is everlasting and forever settled, or a tradition is just for a moment, and you get the joy of it because, well, my wife, she believes in decorating a Christmas tree and things of this nature, so I have to go along with it. Now, who are you going to serve, Yahweh or your wife? Well, if I was to really buckle down, Pastor Betty, it would be a divorce. Well, he didn't come to bring a seal on your marriage that it was going to last forever. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I come to set a man at naught against his wife, against his daughter, against his son, against his mother, against his father, whatever. If you come to the knowledge of the truth and the rest of your family don't come to it, you are a witness to stand and declare, and even the faults of foolishness is sin, so you must, now they're not obligated. It's you that is obligated to stand if you've got that knowledge. Do not yield to the effective traditional tradition of the world that seems right and that you just blend in. You say, well, nobody will ever see me. Nobody will ever know. Yahweh knows it. Whatever you're doing wrong at that moment, it is an everlasting sin. And the Bible said, let us lay aside every sin that so easily besetteth, and let us run the race with patience. Now, let's look at Yahweh's defensive weapon and his offensive weapons. Now, we know that the weapons that we have are not carnal. We don't take a gun out here and try to prove our righteousness by killing all the evil people. That's not what Yahweh's will is. Matter of fact, we are on the killing end. We are on the suffering end. They seek to destroy us. We don't seek to destroy them. But what is the difference between with Yahweh, such as if you can believe all things are possible? So whatever condition you find yourself in, your faith is a factor, and it's your greatest weapon to overcome the world or to overcome your enemy, and the enemies could be those of your own household. Do not learn the practices of the heathen. And right now, in this season that we're preparing, we have the season of Xmas. It's very strange that Santa Claus, he's putting his claws into the tradition of your understanding, both good and evil, to draw you away and give you a bad case of PMS. He physically assaults you with tradition. He mentally assaults you with a seen that way. And he spiritually justifies it and saying, well, everybody else is doing it. Why do you want to be so different? I've seen people that dress different to the rest of society, and then you wonder why they do that, and sometimes it's just to be seen. Now, did Yahweh have a certain dress code for you to dress? Well, he said to do all things in decency. So if Yahweh came back here today, you think he would wear a big turban and a big, long, flowing robe? I don't think so. When he came 2,000 years ago, he came into an age and he dressed just exactly like everybody else dressed. If he came today, he would probably appear to you, and angels have, by the way, and he would appear to you just normally dressed. You would think anything out of the norm. If an angel appeared to you and you picked him up on the highway, you see him standing down there just like the millions of people that pass by. Some have entertained angels unaware. So Yahweh, his word, is your most mightiest weapon. study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, what's that got to do, Pastor Buddy, with the helmet of salvation? Well, you got to have that helmet on because Satan will attack your head. Mentally, he will get into your mind and convince you that you're not doing anything wrong by going to a standard 501(c) church because it beats going to a rock concert and listening to heavy metal. Well, of course it does. Or does it? You know, if you went to a rock concert with heavy metal, you'd probably just get a headache. And if you go to a church and you get entertained, you could get a heartache. You see, the difference between the two is the common denominator of good and evil. Neither one of those wins for you. You've got to have truth in your life, and to have truth, you've got to go against that which seemeth right. And that's the hardest part that I have of trying to convince people of what they're doing could be wrong, because they're going to justify themselves. Every man's way seems right in his own life. Now, let me give you seven reasons why that Satan can never touch you with PMS if you'll obey this. If you take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and you pray always and you use the breastplate of righteousness with the belt of truth, the gospel of peace, and the shield of faith, you'll never, never be moved. You'll be like the rock or the tree planted by the water. You'll be like the house built upon the rock. And Satan and his PMS attacks, his physical, mental, and spiritual attacks, will have no ground for him to sow into your mind or into your flesh man or into your spirit man if you let the spirit man in you rule, and that spirit man is from heaven. Now, the Bible said that you have two men. One is the outward man, and the other is the spiritual man. When the outward man dies, then the spiritual man goes back to Yahweh from which it came. You are a spirit being genetically chosen before the foundational world. If you have this blessing, you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, God can save anybody. He couldn't save Cain. Cain had too much of the genetics of his father. Cain had no hope of ever being saved. He found that out when he went back and he attempted. See, this is the problem here. Satan is the god of good and evil. On one side of the fence, he was a murderer, and on the other side of the fence, he was a friend that you probably like to run around with. He was probably entertaining. Very talented. He had a high education. See, Satan is very crafty to get you with good things, not bad things. Nobody's going to run around with a murderer if you know he's with a knife dripping blood and you want to go to heaven. Murderers don't have eternal life. And yet, the biggest murderer in the world is a deceiver that's trying to do right. I'm going to repeat that. Some of the greatest murderers in the world are in the pulpits. They murder your understanding of the scriptures. They get in the door, they stand in the door, they won't go in themselves, and they hinder them that will. The Holy Ghost is something that you must have, and it's worth getting, but you have to fight to obtain it. The Bible said to run the race, fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life. Now, when one hears the message about the kingdom and he don't understand it, the evil one, here he is, comes and snatches away that which was sown in the heart. This is the seed sown along the rocky path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word, and all at once he receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. Boy, I've seen so many come
and so many go. Are they receive the word? They're going to be a devil chasing one God apostolic. They're going to be right in there, and they're going to fight. But Satan comes around, and he gives them a bad case of PMS. Their wife leaves them. Oh, that's the greatest physical mountain that you can climb, is when you are rejected by your physical mate, or when you are rejected because of your beliefs, or when you are turned out. The Bible said, blessed are you when they shall hate you for my name's sake and turn you out of their congregations. The one that receives that has no root in itself, and he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he falls away quickly. He gets a bad case of PMS. He's physically assaulted. He's mentally exhausted. He's spiritually ragged out. So he got a bad case of PMS. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope and trust tonight that you don't have a bad case of PMS. I hope that you're like this. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke it out, and it becomes very unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell in good soil is a man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. Now, notice this. In another parable, and then I will close. He told them the kingdom of heaven is like a man who has sowed good seed in the field. That was the good seed in the garden. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy, that's Satan, that's the genetic seed bearer, came and sowed weeds among the wheat. Yet right in the womb with Eve was a wheat and a tare. The wheat was Abel and the tare was Cain. Satan fathered Cain and Yahweh fathered Abel. Abel was killed, and the Son of God, the Son of Yahweh, was slain from the foundation of the world with the tree of good and evil. Now, it seemed good when Cain came back to worship. He came back to worship. Here he is with blood dripping from his fingers. He came back to worship Yahweh with the guilt of murder in his heart. And Yahweh recognized, he said, where's your brother? And Cain came back with a crafty answer. He said, how do I know? Am I my brother's keeper? In other words, am I in charge? Am I responsible for him? I don't know what's happened to him. I care not. But I came back to worship him, and now I want you to receive me. What did Yahweh say? Cain, I'm going to give you something here. If you do good, well and good. If you do evil, sin lays at your door. You'll know a tree by its fruit. This is what the parable of Matthew 13 is all about. This is what the PMS standard of physical, mental, and spiritual aptitude of the common denominator of the tree of good and evil. Don't be fooled with good. Don't be lured into being evil. Also, there is a common denominator of good and evil that is in your brain. You have a reptilian brain. On one side of you is to do good. On the other side is to do evil. You can't accept either one of those. Either one of those is deceptive. There's more deceit people in church today doing good than there is almost murderers doing evil. Let me tell you something. It's not a sin to go to jail, but it's a sin to stay there. It's not a sin to live in sin for a while, but it's a sin if you're a genetic offspring of Yahweh to stay there, to come out of her, my people. Get out of the traditions, get out of the seem right, get out of the evil way, and get into Yahweh, and dig down deep, get on a solid rock foundation, and work while it's light. Put on the helmet, and take the shield of faith, and avoid the PMS that the devil has got for you. Well, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary. And we appreciate being with you tonight. It's been a wonderful blessing just to bring you the three-part message that we brought you tonight about PMS. We may do another tomorrow night, and then we may not. We don't know. This may be the final part of PMS. But if you'd like to have this three-part series, you can write Pastor Buddy tonight by writing to Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight here around the world on WWRB 3.185 by calling area code 423-626-19. Well, that's my old number. Let me give you my new number tonight. I'm at Hallelujah Acres. I forgot about that. Let me give you the number direct here. That would be 423-338-1972. Now, if you'd like to call my home number, we have someone there that could take your call. We have voicemail if you'd like to leave a message at our old number, which is area code 423-626-2172. Now, again, if you'd like to write me, just simply write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. And we love you tonight very much. We've enjoyed being with you tonight with neither good nor evil. We've come to you with truth, and truth is the final separator of what's good and what's bad. Choose this day whom you will serve. Now, if you want to repent tonight and be baptized in the name of Yahweh, call me. We'll have someone. And we got a sister in Missouri. She needs to be baptized. She lives in Missouri. If you are a Holy Ghost-filled Yahweh man, we would ask you to call me here at Hallelujah Acres, 423-338-1972. We need a sister that needs to get baptized very bad. So if you could give me a call, if you're in that area, or if you can get down into the central part of Missouri, and maybe over the holidays when you could be off of work and you could go down there and get this done, we would appreciate hearing from you tonight. So if you'd like to volunteer and go down to Missouri and to baptize this sister that's in need of being baptized. She can't make it out here. But if you can get to her, we would appreciate you giving me a call right here tonight, and we would appreciate that. Praise Yahweh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get off from here. Our time is coming gone. I'll be back tomorrow night around the world at 11 Eastern Standard Time. It'll be 10 Central on WWRB 3.185 with another message from Hallelujah Acres. Until we see you then, may Yahweh bless you, and we want you to know that we love you, and avoid PMS if you can. Yahweh bless.